Hallelujah. Take your seat, please, for a moment. Our God is good. I want to welcome every one of us to this great service this morning. It's always wonderful to be in the... Yes, if you have want to clap, you are free. Always be free in God's presence. We thank God for bringing us together. We thank God. It's a privilege to come to church every time. And I want to thank God for helping us in the fasting and praying in this month of January. Today is the last day of our fast. God has been good to us. God has been faithful. Somebody sent me a chat this morning and said, Mommy, I didn't miss any of the day of the fasting. I finished it despite that, she had suffered from ulcer. But she said, I made it. I did it 23 days. And I just said, to God be the glory. And I told her, I said, that is the end of that ulcer. You will not see it again. So we are grateful to God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And I'd like to let you know that all the prayers we have offered, the Lord has heard us. Our rejoicing shall be unhindered in the mighty name of Jesus. There are two things we will do quickly before I share the word of God. But can't we say thank you, Jesus, for the work of the sealing that is going on? This is beautiful, isn't it? We thank God for helping us thus far. Very soon, the whole place will be sealed up and the Lord will be glorified. I want to use this opportunity once again to thank you, everyone, all Abundant Lifers, for your seed, for your tithes, for your offering, everything you are giving that is causing the work to progress. Your life will also make progress in the mighty name of Jesus. You will never have a better yesterday. In Jesus' name. I want to thank God for the building committee for always being there. They are always here, always there. Please help me clap for them. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for all the sanitation units. By the time they removed the scaffolding, the whole of this place was dirty. They were here for several hours cleaning. The ushers were here, also cleaning. The sound, they were here to make sure that everything is put back in place. The Lord will not forget your labor of love. In the mighty name of Jesus. You are not doing it for me. You are not doing it for man. You are doing it for the Lord. And the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. As we round off this fast, like I said last week, there are two things we need to do today. We are sowing our seed at the end of fasting. The sowing, seed sowing is a major part of fasting and prayer. It's a major part. You cannot fast and pray and not sow a seed. And the scripture that is very strong in my spirit, we don't have to read it, is in the book of John, chapter 21. And you know something I saw there? It said, when the giver appears like a beggar, then you know that the beggar is about to rejoice. And I was surprised when that word came to me. And I said, what does that mean? The Bible says Peter toiled all night. He did everything he could do, but he caught nothing. He toiled and toiled. He did his best. Toiling is like praying. Toiling is like fasting. Toiling is an effort you put into something that you think will yield the fruit. It's a legitimate act because he's a fisherman, so he needed to toil. As Christians, we need to pray. As Christians, we need to fast. It is legitimate. It's a toil. It's expected. Unfortunately, Peter did not catch anything. That is to show that it's not just about what he can do. It is God that gives the increase. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying today. The Bible says the horse is prepared for battle, but victory is the Lord's. He said, if the Lord does not build the house, the laborers labor but in vain. If the Lord does not keep watch over the city, the watchmen watch but in vain. So, when we fast and we pray and we seek the Lord, if there is no answer, then it will be in vain. But thank God, the scripture says, he has never asked us to seek him in vain. He said, when we seek him, we shall find him and our joy shall be full. Praise the name of the Lord. So, Peter didn't catch anything and he just got up and he was going home. The following morning, go and read it, John chapter 21. The following morning, Jesus showed up. And instead of Jesus addressing his frustration, what he asked him, he said, do you have food? He said, we don't even have anything. We have been toiling all night, we didn't catch anything. Okay, Peter, give me your boat. Give me your time. In his frustration, Jesus still asked for something. When the giver is coming as a beggar, he said, give me. And Peter said, no problem. Normally, Peter should say, no, I don't have to. I'm tired. I've toiled. I'm going home. I don't have time. Jesus said, now, you are not only going to give me your boat, you will give me your time. Because you will push that boat right into the water and stay with me until I'm done. So Peter gave Jesus his boat, gave him his time, gave him his strength. And when Jesus had taken from him, he now told him, now cast your net into that water. The same water where he toiled and he got nothing, that same water gave him a net-breaking experience. Listen to me. When the giver comes like a beggar, the beggar is about to rejoice. Because he's not just a beggar. He is asking from you so that he can give it back to you. That's why we are sowing our seed. I told you this last Sunday, and you know me, I don't know how to manipulate. I don't know how to push too much. I told you to come with a seed today. It is when you put a seed down that you get harvest. And our unanimous, universal seed is our money. It's our fund that we give to the Lord. So I'm sure everyone here today, you have prepared your seed. If you were not here last Sunday, you didn't know. Well, we have POS there. Let them project the account details so that if you want to do a transfer, you can do. If you want to do it at another time, maybe it's okay. But those of us who have come with our seed, we are presenting it unto the Lord so that there will be a turnaround, so that our toil, our prayer, our fasting. Let me tell you, it's not easy to fast. Some of us like food. Me, I like food too, although I don't eat much. But when I want to eat, I like to eat. I like good food. We all know what it is to fast. For 23 days, we have been waiting on the Lord. Some churches are doing 40, 50, but we don't compare ourselves to ourselves. What God told us is 23. So don't worry. After today, you are free. Except God gives you another instruction to continue, like he has given to some, you can just continue. But for us as a church, it's 23, and we are giving thanks to the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to stand with your seed, and you are going to lift it up to the Lord and say, Lord, this is my seed for my net-breaking rejoicing. My net-breaking experience. I don't want my toil to be in vain. This prayer and fasting is not going to be in vain. It's going to yield back to me everything that I gave to you in my time of prayer. I'm also standing, this seed is also, I told God, I said, I'm also sowing a seed concerning all our brethren in the diaspora. So if you are there, you are an Abundant Life, you are listening to me, this seed is also for you. Sow your own seed as well. But this is, as the GO, I'm standing on behalf of Abundant Life, of course, on behalf of myself and on behalf of everyone. And I'm saying that your prayer and your fasting is going to yield back to you multiple fruits in the name of Jesus. So if you have your seed, please stand to your feet. If you want to do POS, quickly run to the back and do it. And let's do it together. Everyone stand with your seed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege you have given us to fast and pray. We thank you. Some cannot even fast. Some are not even aware of their time and season. But you brought us to this year, and you have helped us in this January fasting. You are not a beggar, but you have asked us to bring our seed because you want to give us a rejoicing. As we drop this seed today, I am praying for everyone holding a seed and those online that this seed will break the siege in the name of Jesus. This seed will meet your need in the name of Jesus. This seed will cause you to have a net-breaking experience of rejoicing in the name of Jesus. What you never thought you could achieve, because you have given up, the Lord of heaven will make you to achieve it in the name of Jesus. What you have toiled for, what you have labored for, what you have prayed for, what you have fasted for, what you have desired, what you have cried about, what you have sought for help for, and you didn't get. Let this seed be a point of contact to bring the manifestation in the mighty name of Jesus. Early this year, I think like the third or fourth day of the year, I had a revelation. I saw members lining up for testimonies. The line was so long, the queue was so long, and I said, Lord, how are we going to take all this? He said, that is to tell you what I'm going to do this year. Everyone with a seed today, you are going to be a part of that long life to give a long line to give a testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, whatever the seed that is being dropped today, multiply it back to every giver. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over shall come to your bosom in the name of Jesus. The rest money in your pocket, robbers will not see it. You will not use it to service sickness and disease. You'll be in sound health. You'll enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. All right, please go to the nearest basket to you and just drop your seed. Choir, give us a danceable song. Thank you. And let's give your seed with rejoicing. Don't just walk down there. Please give it with rejoicing. I'm not asking them to come and take it from you. You bring it to the Lord. Okay? Choir, give us good song. Give me a song of praise.
Mighty God, hallowed be your name. Faithful God, you are worthy to receive all the praise. For you are Lord, you're the air that I breathe. Through the song that I sing, the lover of my soul.
Please dance.
With you, there is no impossibility. With you, I can move the mountains. Whatever you say will surely come to pass at the mention of your name. Every demon found,
unchangeable,
reliable God.
Service, you forgot me. You are giving a seed and you are not rejoicing. We are talking about the unchangeable God who can do all things. Oh yeah, another 2-3 minutes. Come on, let's give him a dance. Come on, go ahead.
Unchangeable.
Reliable.
There is nothing,
absolutely nothing. There is nothing impossible unto you. With my to the blind, no one can deny your greatness and your power. Many just they wonder, wonder what you got.
Hallelujah. What no man can do for you, Jesus will do it for you. In the name of Jesus. Today we are going to be anointed. Like I said, last day of fast is very important. I told you to come with an anointing oil. If you don't have one, I told them to bring for you to purchase. I hope you have gotten one. Even if it is one for your family, it may not be everybody holding a bottle, but at least there should be one per family. Now, please, can I have the oil? for the church. The scripture, please remain standing with me. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Thank you. That's the word upon this oil. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. And then what? The oil of joy for mourning. This oil is going to be the oil of joy. You didn't hear me. I said it's going to be the oil of joy for mourning. It's going to bring you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The anointing today is the anointing of the oil of joy. And when there is joy, there is rejoicing. The second scripture is Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. Please bring it up. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. For thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with what? With oil of gladness above thy fellows. Anyone that loves righteousness and hates iniquity, anyone who is tallying with Jesus, because this is talking about Jesus, anyone who receives Jesus and who walks with him, the Bible says, shall be anointed with oil of gladness above his fellows. Let me tell you, hey, God is going to lift you up above others. So this oil is bringing joy and bringing gladness. Oil plus gladness is equal to rejoicing. That is my simple arithmetic. Write it anywhere, post it anywhere, hashtag it everywhere. Oil plus gladness is rejoicing. God is giving you joy, God is giving you gladness, and it is going to turn to rejoicing in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord spoke to me. He said I should pray on a bottle of oil to anoint the church, the church premises. Because in the Bible, anything can be anointed. When Aaron was anointed, his forehead, his ear, his thumb, his feet, Jesus gave the disciples, he said, carry oil as you are going, just anoint. So this one is going to be to anoint the church. My own, for me, is already with one of my family members. That one is for you, for your family, for your business, for whatever you are holding. And we are decreeing oil of joy. So as you lift up that oil, I want you to pray unto it that, Lord, joy, gladness, rejoicing follows this oil as I use it to anoint myself, my business, my home, whatever belongs to me. Can you lift your voice and pray that prayer in 2 minutes? Lord Jesus, let every bottle of oil held today, even those people that are online, some of them are also holding their bottles of oil, let the anointing for joy, the anointing for gladness, the anointing for rejoicing come upon this oil. As your children will be using this oil, they will have testimonies of joy. They will have testimonies of gladness. They will have testimonies of rejoicing. And even as the church is anointed as well, everyone that comes into this premises, they will meet with joy. They will meet with rejoicing in the mighty name of every single abundant lifer. They will come in and they will find joy. Anyone that comes in here in sorrow, they will go back with joy. Anyone that comes here in weeping, they will go back with joy. Anyone that comes here confounded and confused, depressed and oppressed, they will go back free. You told me, you said, this is a solution ground. This is a place where people will come and they will find life. This is a place where people will come and they will find solution. Lord Jesus, let this oil carry the power of joy, of gladness and of rejoicing in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Anoint yourself. Somebody standing beside you doesn't have an oil. Please be free enough to give that person. We are all anointing ourselves. Then you take the remaining home. Anoint your house, anoint your business, and just declare joy plus gladness is rejoicing. 2 minutes. Please be your brother's keeper and let everybody be anointed. Choir, give us good song. Reverend Peter, please come. I want you to take this oil. Come, because we are doing it together right now. Have you anointed yourself? Take this oil to the entrance, to the outside the gate. That flower. Eh? Pour everything inside. Just pour it there. Everything. Yes. Go out of the gate at that point. Hallelujah. Anyone that steps into this place, there will be joy and rejoicing. You can't fast for 23 days and there will not be rejoicing. You know, this year is our year of evangelism. It's the year of bringing souls to the kingdom. So that's why we are praying that as many people have come here, look, last week, the police in our area brought a lady here who was in trouble. They said, look, when we found her, the only place we could think about to take her to is to bring her to Abundant Life Church. Aren't you excited about that? And they brought her here. And God has helped us to take care of her. And we have sorted out the issues with her. So this is a solution ground. Let me tell you, anybody, this is a solution ground. Praise the name of the Lord. Have you anointed yourself? All right, let's give God praise. 2 minutes before I go to share the word. I don't know what you are going to do. Okay, I never see this kind of God before.
Wonder.
If you don't know how to dance, just shake your body.
I never see this kind of God before.
Wonder.
I never see this kind of God before.
Wonder.
I never see you.
Look at your neighbor. Is your neighbor dancing? Oh, if he's not dancing, push us more. Hello. Go on.
Is that it?
Of Galilee. You are doing the same today.
Just like you walked the seeds of Galilee.
You are doing the same today.
Just like who you do seek and you raise the dead.
You are doing the same today.
Just like you heal the seek and you raise the dead.
You are doing the same today.
What do you can do? What do I can do?
Somebody say, my rejoicing shall be unhindered in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Please take your seat. Praise the name of the Lord. Before I forget, the building committee has said the next thing we should do is to do the lighting before we continue the ceiling. I think that's wise, right? So that's the next thing. They already... The professionals are coming together, putting things, so that they will tell us what exactly it's going to cost. So we are going to make sure that the lighting is properly done, beautiful, and then we progress. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited? I don't know about you, but me, I'm excited. And I know the spirit of just men made perfect. Daddy is also excited because this has been his dream all his life. And I'm glad that his dream is being fulfilled. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, choir. You can take your seat. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your word. I ask you today, that your word today will come out like fire to devour and destroy anything that may be the plan of the enemy to hinder anyone's rejoicing in the name of Jesus. Let your word come like hammer to break into pieces every rock in the name of Jesus. Let your word come like light to shine in the darkness in the name of Jesus. Let your word come, oh God, like water to satisfy, to quench the thirst. That at the end, oh God, we'll begin to auto cruise in rejoicing in the mighty name of Jesus. Let my word come like your oracle today in Jesus' name. Can I hear a better amen? Unhindered rejoicing. Unhindered rejoicing. Unhindered rejoicing. No matter what happens, I've come to let you know that your rejoicing cannot be stopped. It cannot be slowed down. It cannot be restricted. In fact, it will not be made difficult. Let me repeat that prophetic word. I say, in the name of Jesus, no matter what happens to you, your rejoicing cannot be stopped. It will not be slowed down. It will not be restricted. It will not be made difficult. It will not be hindered. It will be an utter cruise of rejoicing in the name of Jesus. Turn with me into the book of Genesis chapter 37. We are going to see an example. Genesis chapter 37, I'm reading from verse 3. Please come with me. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Genesis 37 from verse 3. I didn't say 47, 37. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Wow. They hated him. And they stopped talking to him like a brother should talk to a brother. Anytime Joseph comes close to them, they shun him off. They were angry with him because he was loved. Listen to me. Do you know you have a heavenly father that loves you? And anybody that is angry that God loves you, Nadem Sabi? Because that rejoicing cannot be hindered in the mighty name of Jesus. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. That is the second time the Bible is talking about hatred. And he said unto them, here I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brothers said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Hatred increasing. The first hatred was because he was loved. Second hatred is because he had a dream that showed that there is a greatness ahead of him. 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Hey, somebody is going to dream another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come down to bow ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Hatred because of the greatness that Joseph did not even fabricate, that God from the foundation of the world had promised, had prepared for Joseph. I'd like to let you know this morning, as the word of God is coming, just grab whatever belongs to you. There is something that God has for you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. And it doesn't matter who doesn't like your face, you will still achieve it though. I want to guess that from that time, they started looking out for an opportunity to deal with Joseph. Because the scriptures that goes after it just shows that. Anyway, after a while, the father told them to carry the flock. Because of time, we are not going to be reading everything, but please read it when you get back. Chapter 7, 38, 39, 40, 41. We'll just touch a few of those verses. The father gave them the flock, the brother. He said, yeah, carry the flock. Go to Shechem. Go and cause the flock to graze. You know, just like all these Fulani herdsmen. They can travel several kilometers carrying their flock around. Joseph was at home. He was a young boy. At that time, he was just 17. So one morning, the father said, oh yeah, Jacob, I mean Joseph, stand up. Go and check the welfare of your brothers. Go and see how they are doing. And the Bible says, Joseph started looking for them. He went to Shechem. He didn't find them. He was wandering up and down. He didn't see them. So he saw some people. He said, I'm looking for these young men, 11 of them. No, 10 of them, because I believe Benjamin was at home. He said, I'm looking for them. I don't know where. Can you? They have gone to Dothan. Go and look for them. Like when you expect somebody to be at Ikeja and they say, he don't reach Maryland. He don't reach Lekki. So Joseph went all the way to look for his brother. And the Bible says, when they saw him afar off, jump to verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, that dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into the pit, and we will say some evil beast had devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. May I tell you today that nobody can kill your dream. You didn't hear me. I say no power in hell can kill your dream. Joseph didn't know what was happening. He was just coming innocently. Obeying the father's instruction, coming to check his dear brothers. His beloved elder brothers. And while he was far away, they started discussing, started talking. Look at him. The dreamer is coming. Let's kill him. Let's destroy him. Meanwhile, he was coming towards them to be of good to them. And they were planning evil for him. May I prophesy to somebody's life today that anybody that is planning against you, God will not, he will frustrate their plans. Your rejoicing shall not be hindered. I say your rejoicing shall not be hindered. In the mighty name of Jesus. Listen to me, as a pastor sitting under on the counseling table, I hear a lot. Going about ministering, I see a lot. We were in Kirikiri sometimes last year, and one of the young men that God gave a great deliverance, what was his testimony? He found himself there because of the plot of the stepmother. Terrible things are happening all over the world. But thank God, God delivered her. God delivered him. So whomever is plotting against you, don't worry. Your rejoicing shall not be hindered. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. While they were saying all that, Reuben now suggested that, no, let's not kill him. Because, he had a soft spot for him. He was the eldest brother. He said, let's cast him into the pit. Let's throw him into a pit. He said that, according to the Bible, so that when they had gone, he would come back secretly and bring him out of the pit and take him back to the father. Because he didn't want his brother dead. So he said, let's throw him in the pit. So when Joseph arrived, they just grabbed him. just took him immediately, removed his coat of many colors, because that was the first point of anger. Because something that he was blessed with. Ah, if your blessing is making somebody to be angry, may you not see your blessing again. So they stripped him of that cloth, made him naked, and then they threw him into the pit. And the Bible says that when they had thrown him into the pit, his brothers sat down and they began to eat and rejoice because they thought they had seen the end of the dream of Joseph. Can you imagine somebody rejoicing, happy because another person is in trouble? That's what the Bible says. They sat down and they were rejoicing. And then suddenly, we had a company of Ishmaelites carrying their merchandise to Egypt. We can't read everything. And as they were coming, thank God for the way God always orchestrates his thing. Judah, one of his elder brothers, suggested that instead of keeping this boy in the pit, he will still die there. And let us sell him off. At least let's make some money. So they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Now, I checked. I said, what is the worth of that 20 pieces of silver in today's currency? It says it's $176. $176 is less than $200,000. That's how much they sold a 17-year-old, young, strong-bodied boy. So, all the way from that place to Egypt, according to Bible maps, it's a 4 to 5 days trek. So this young boy that went to look for his brothers, not far away from the house, had to trek 4 to 5 days because of the conspiracy of the wicked. Hear me. You may be here and you are going through some stuff now. You are trekking. You are struggling. You are going through some things that you never thought you would go through just because the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let me tell you, it will soon be over. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, this year is your year. It will be over because your rejoicing shall not be hindered in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Took him to Egypt, sold him again the second time. Abba, when he's not a chicken, sold him to Potiphar, because those people, all they do is to buy and sell. So they bought him and then they sold him to Potiphar. And then God said, I am still with you. Even in the midst of what you are going through. If you jump to chapter 39. Chapter 39, I'll read from verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. See, even in the midst of that trouble, God still had mercy on him. God still made him prosperous. I know somebody may be here today. You are saying, I'm not where I should be. I'm far away from where I should have reached, whether in your business or in your career. But I'm sure you will have a testimony that even in that situation, there is a reason for you to give thanks to the Lord. Do I have a witness? There's a reason to give thanks to the Lord. That's the way God works. He says he will not allow us to be tempted beyond our strength. But in that temptation, he will give us a way of escape. So God will always have a way of cushioning the effect. Because he will take you through the process to get you to where you are going. So God was with Joseph. And one beautiful thing about Joseph is this. We never heard at any time that Joseph complained. Or Joseph was angry. Or Joseph harbored unforgiveness. Not once. Not once. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Now, verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put, and all that he had, he put into his hands. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Praise the name of the Lord. See, right there where Joseph was, even in that state of the dream not yet fulfilled, Joseph was still upright. Joseph was still a good boy. Joseph was serving faithfully to the point that the master gave everything to him. May I ask you a question? Where were the other workers with Potiphar when God promoted Joseph to be their head? It's because he was better than them. That's what I see there. I mean, maybe some of his workers will embezzle money. They will say, oh yeah, go and buy, go and take the car and go and fill the tank. We say, oh, I fill the tank with 20,000. Meanwhile, he filled the tank with 10,000. He will bring receipt of 20,000. Or God will give him 20,000 instead of 10,000. Oh, go and do this. He was swindling everything. But when Joseph came, he was upright. He was good. He had the fear of God. And the ogre had no choice. Now, if it were you, will you not put your somebody that is better above the others? Talk to me, Abundant Lifers. You will do so no matter how long that person has been with them. So, you see, in any situation you find yourself, don't let whatever you are going through change your Christian values. Change your character. I remembered, you know, one of the experiences I had some years ago. I've shared this testimony before. When I was doing a vacation job in Ilorin then, 1970-something, and I was working in the Ministry of Lands and Housing. Every Monday, the team leader would sign for tracing paper, graph, pencil, eraser, duplicating paper, because we were in the ministry where they do all manner of drawing, you know, C of O and all those, you know, they do a lot of drawing. So we had it in our office, we do all that. So my boss would sign for it, and then we'll use it during the week. Now, whatever is left, everybody will share it and take it home. So when he's signing for it on Monday, I don't know that he always signed intentionally for more. Sometimes when they bring them in, I'm like, this thing is too much than what we need now. But what's my own? I'm just a young school leaver doing holiday job. So I will just keep quiet. And on Friday, they will share the rest and take it away. I once told my boss, I said, but this is not right. He said, it's part of the national cake. We are going to enjoy it together. So, as it continued, when they come on Monday morning and they are talking about how they made money and so on, you know, I will be like, am I not a fool? Why am I not joining them? To make it worse, one of them started telling me, hey, sister, yeah, Jesu, you better join us. Can we share some with you? I said, no, I don't want. And I did that for a long time until I got pressured. He said, we have signed for it now. We are not supposed to return it. Let's use it. So that day, you know, after all the taunting, and you see, don't mind her. She's so holy, holy, spiritual, SU, this and that and that. Chebi, it's our Oga self, they share. Now Oga, they share with us. So what's your problem? They gave me a pack of duplicating paper. You know, I was very naive. I was foolish. I wasn't smart. I didn't know how they do it. I don't know that usually when they share it, they will have taken it out of the office before the closing of the day on Friday. Me, they gave me, I put it inside poly bag I carry. I put it by my seat side. That same day, the permanent secretary walked into our office. And he said he had heard that, you know, they take materials of the office home. So he decided to come just before we go out. And he came with two people. He said they should begin to search everybody's bag. Meanwhile, all my colleagues, they are taking their own away. Foolish girl, I didn't know anything. To make matters worse, you know, the devil is very wicked. He's the one that will push you to sin, and he's the one that will first of all throw the stone at you. I was the first person they came to, brought the poly bag out, and here was a ream of duplicating paper. Brethren, I felt like the ground should open and I should enter. And the man said, are you not the one that is always preaching? Are you not the Sister Jane, the Christian? So you are carrying the duplicating paper. They didn't find anything with all others. It was only me. That day was the worst day of my life. I said, sir, I have not been doing this before. This is the first time. They are the one that tricked me to do it. The one that even pushed me to do it said, did we force it on you? Don't mind now. We don't know anything about it. Oh, this and that. And they pushed everything on me. They took it away from me and, you know, sent a query. I resigned that same day from that office. I refused to go back because I couldn't face the shame. Many years later, you know, myself and that lady, we now met in a conference abroad. At that time, she had given her life to Christ. She was already a pastor. So if I didn't even notice her, she was the one that noticed me. And she came to me. She said, I'm sorry for what happened that time. Now I'm born again. I don't do such again. I said, well, you have already caused me trouble. You are telling me you are sorry. Can it change what happened before? Now, what am I trying to say? And I've also been in a situation that God has helped me to be upright and God took the glory. So please, wherever you find yourself, don't be pressured to do anything negative. Maintain your godliness, because godliness with contentment is what? It's great gain. That was what happened to Joseph, and that's one of the reasons that brought that momentary rejoicing, because he was still in bondage. He was still a slave. But because he kept on being a child of God, God gave him favor in the face of his boss. But temptation did not stop there. Temptation continued. If you read on, we all know the story. Read on verse 7. Let's just read a few verses down. And the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house. And he had committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither had he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Listen to me. When the devil brings you temptation, he wants you to do a great wickedness and sin against God. And when you do that, you truncate your destiny. When you do that, you stop, you hinder, you slow down, you make difficult your rejoicing. Joseph understood that. He said, no, I can't do this. The woman continued to pester him and pester him. There's no reason why Joseph should not do that. Maybe you are here, you're also doing things like that. Secretly, you say, nobody sees me, my friend. Do you know that it's a foolish man that says he wants to hide from the sun? Sun, that sun that is up there. Can you hide from the sun? No. So you must never yield to temptation. Let me tap your neighbor. Tell him, don't yield to temptation. Don't be the enemy of your own rejoicing. It doesn't matter what it is. Oh, I won't forget Dickness Lala's testimony. I'm calling her name so that you can verify. Before she got married many, many years ago, she was told, come and do this, do that, do that, do that. She came to me that day and said, they say I should buy a wedding gown, I should do this, I should do that, carry to river, da 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 da. And I said, I'm not doing. He said, stay there. That's how you will remain. You will not marry. Kiniko, kiniko. We have prayed, we have gone to here and there, and they said, if you don't do this sacrifice, you will not marry. She refused to do the sacrifice. This sister was judge conducting choir. On a Sunday morning. She was not singing, she was conducting choir. And this young brother saw somebody conducting choir and he fell in love with her. Today they are married for how many years, Sev? Dickness, I don't know if you're in church. I'm sharing your testimony. Don't mind me. If she had gone to do that, only God knows what would have happened. People put upon themselves trouble because they yield to temptation. Let me tell you, the devil is the one orchestrating that temptation. If you do not fall into it, it will be a stepping stone to higher heights. May that stone that is thrown at you today be a stepping stone to your higher height. You didn't hear me? I said, may that stone that is thrown at you today be your stepping stone to higher heights. In the mighty name of Jesus. It landed him into the prison. If you were Joseph, what would you say? You say, why am I such a fool? Now I did the right thing. And instead for God to just protect me, I'm in the prison. He didn't know that that is the pathway to the palace. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let me tell you, in the process of life, don't be your own enemy. In the process of life, God can do everything, but he will not do everything. Because there are some things that will not allow God to do what he should do. God does not rejoice in iniquity. Mm-mm. Because thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity, the Lord thy God anointed thee with oil of joy above your fellows. I must emphasize that so that I won't just preach a lopsided message today, so that you won't just be saying amen, amen, amen to all the prophetic word and you say nothing is happening. Nothing happened to me. No, 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 no. If you don't stand in the path of righteousness, something will happen. If you are an employee somewhere and you are not doing very well, you are not faithful, and you are shouting amen, amen to rejoicing in this place, I am sorry, God will not answer that amen. Because God does not rejoice in iniquity. But if you are upright, no matter what you are going through, I'm a storyteller. I have shared 1,000,001 testimonies here again and again. I don't want to bore you with all those details because it's been a long service. People who are faithful to the Lord in spite of their trouble. Others are saying, you are the only one. You say, let me just remain there. Let me continue to serve. Let me be faithful to God and to the person who has called me, and eventually they get blessed. Young people in this place today, don't allow any young person like you to push you into doing what you're not supposed to do. I've had a lot of people say, let's go and do Yahoo, Yahoo. Let's do Yahoo Plus. Let's do cyber crime. That's where money is coming from. That's not the template for your rejoicing. Don't go there. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. If you go to chapter 40, God helped Joseph to do another exploit, but it went unrewarded. You know the story. The chief butler and the chief baker of Pharaoh, they were both thrown into the prison. The Bible didn't tell us exactly the details of what they did. And then the chief butler and the chief baker both had dreams. Joseph also being faithful in the prison. When he got to the prison, he was made a prison guard. The same dungeon. He was not sulking. He was not depressed. He was not saying that we're all prisoners, let everybody be crying, but he still stood up. He had the spirit of God, and he was looking out for everybody. He saw the two of them sad, and he said, why are you sad? Who will not be sad inside prison? Abi? Sadness is pari passu with prison now. He said, why are you not sad? That is to let you know something. You can be in a situation of sadness and you are not sad. Did you hear that? Let nothing steal your joy. Mm-mm, nothing should steal your joy. And both of them said, we had dreams. Da, 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 da. And God gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream. And because of that, God pushed the chief butler back to the palace. And Joseph thought that that would be the point where he would be rewarded and he would be out of that place. But it did not happen. If you look at verse 14. Yes, verse 14. Joseph told the chief butler, he said, but think on me when it shall be well with thee and show me kindness, I pray thee, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. I read this that particular verse, and I felt like crying. Joseph said, I'm not supposed to be here. Please, now that God has used me to prophesy to your life, and you are going out of this place back to the palace of Pharaoh, you are one of the closest persons to Pharaoh. Please talk about me to Pharaoh. And Joseph further explained to him, he said, verse 15, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that should put me into the dungeon. It was a passionate plea. I've gone from one trouble to the other, sold twice, brought into this dungeon. I've not done anything. Please plead my case. The Bible says, look at verse 21. And he restored the chief butler into his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, and he hanged the chief baker as Joseph has interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. He didn't remember. For 2 years, perhaps you are here also listening to me. You are saying, Mommy, you are talking about unhindered rejoicing. But my rejoicing has been hindered. I ought to have been brought out of this place. I ought to have left this place. There's a brother, now he's abroad, doing very well. There are 5 of them. The other 4 are abroad. He's the only one, and he's the youngest. He's the only one here. They did everything possible to take him there. He could not go because of some demonic activities. For years, I told him, calm down. You just be living your life. By the time God rises for you, it will be a different story. Today, the rest is history. In a miraculous way, where he's not expecting, God brought help. And today, he even has a stay. I don't want to mention the country. Praise the name of the Lord. So you might maybe how you listening to me, whether online or here, and you say, oh, I've been forgotten. This is 2 years. This is 3 years. What ought to have happened to me has not happened. And my uncle that ought to help me has not helped me. And you're angry with your uncle. Leave your uncle alone. Leave your cousin or your sister alone. God is the helper of the helpless. See, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Your help is here. I say your help is here. This is the year. It's our year of rejoicing. In the mighty name of Jesus. He was still there, trusting the Lord. But let's go to chapter 41. I'm going to read from verse 1. Permit me to read a couple of verses there so that you can understand the full story. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. Behold, he stood by the river. Don't forget, it was a dream that brought the chief butler out of the prison. And that dream ought to have brought Joseph out of the prison. And the man forgot him. God said, I'm going to orchestrate another dream. But this dream will bring you out. All things will work together for somebody's good. What you thought would take you out and didn't take you out, God is going to orchestrate another one. So don't worry that you missed that one. Another opportunity is coming. I'm prophesying to somebody's life today. I said, don't worry that you missed that. Another opportunity is coming. Behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed. And they fed in the middle. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them, and out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke and he slept and dreamt the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon the stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and he called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Because God had somebody in mind that was coming to interpret that dream. He didn't give that dream to Pharaoh just for anybody to take to interpret. He had somebody in mind. May God orchestrate something because of you. Don't joke with the anointing on this service. So. I say God will orchestrate something because of your rejoicing. Verse 9. Then the chief buckler spake unto Pharaoh and said, I do remember my faults this day. Behold, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and he put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamt a dream in one night. I and he, we dreamt each man according to the interpretation of his dreams. And there was this with us, a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him and interpreted to us our dreams. So each man, according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me, he restored unto my office, and him, he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Somebody shout hallelujah. Everything started coming together for Joseph. Your rejoicing cannot be hindered. There may be a process of time, but take this from me. Your rejoicing cannot be hindered. Whatever God has said concerning you, they will come to pass. This year is your year of rejoicing. That was the beginning of the manifestation, the first set of manifestation. Joseph's name was announced in the palace of Pharaoh. Very, very soon, there's somebody here, your name is going to be mentioned among the great people. Hey, I say your name will be mentioned in the palace. So. In the mighty name of Jesus. Pharaoh sent for Joseph. Say, go and bring him. And they brought him hastily. Message translation says, they took him on the run. It's just like you tell your child, fight here, run. NIV version says, they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. This morning, whether you are in a financial dungeon, or you are in a marital dungeon, or you are in an emotional dungeon, or you are in a health dungeon, I speak by the power of the Almighty God. You are coming out hastily in the name of Jesus. I say you are coming out hastily in the mighty name of Jesus. His clothes, they changed. Prison clothes took away. Only God knows how many years Joseph had shaved. Who will allow him to shave in prison? You don't carry things, you don't carry blade and so on to prison. You know, each time we go to prison, they don't allow us to go in with anything. No phone, no iPad, nothing. They check our bags because anything that is like a weapon is not allowed in. So, shave care. Only God knows how dirty, tattered he will be. Everything turned around. Everything changed. Is somebody ready for a change? Receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus. The same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. What he did before, he can do again. On this last day of this fasting and praying, I come to declare and decree that what God did before, let him repeat again 100 times better in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus. He stood before Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh, if you read from verse 15 to 24, we don't have time to read. Pharaoh told Joseph his dream. At that time, Pharaoh had to depend on hey, may power change hand today in somebody's life. Pharaoh had to relate a dream to an ordinary prisoner because he wanted a solution. You know, pharaohs don't depend on people. People defend. Pharaohs dole down instruction. They dole down authority. They give mandates. They give decrees. A pharaoh will not be asking, even when they are calling their astrologers and wise men, they tell them those things so that they can give them an answer immediately. They deal with them as an authority. They don't deal with them as if, oh, I depend on them. No. Go and read the story of pharaohs. They are a principality in their own right. They are like God. But this time, he was narrating a story to Joseph. And Joseph stood there. He was listening. Ah, may God make you a God to somebody who thinks he's a God. If you understand that, catch it. Yeah. It's a prophetic one. And Joseph responded, and Joseph gave him recommendation. He wasn't asking for recommendation. He said, I want to know the interpretation. But God gave Joseph double grace. He said, this is the dream you had, and this is the interpretation. This is what it is. And this is my recommendation. Do this, do that, do that, do that, because of the dream. Jump to verse 37. And the thing, we are reading Genesis 41, 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Nobody could say, let Joseph go and sit down. That recommendation is not right. If God be for you, nothing can be against you. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Just within 10 minutes of discussion, accolades, qualities, celebration started coming upon Joseph from the mouth of Pharaoh. He said, for as much as God has shown you all these things, there is no one that is discreet and wise as you are. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, let me read a couple of verses down. See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. I noticed something here. Joseph's robe was changed twice. When he was brought out of the prison, his garment was changed. And by the time Pharaoh finished with him, his garment was changed. How many times was Joseph sold in slavery? For your shame, you will have double. Yeah. Vesture of fine linen, gold chain upon his neck, gold chain, 24 karat gold. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And he cried, and they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave to him wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh in Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Somebody shout hallelujah. 13 years of trouble ended. Joseph was 17 when all these calamities began to befall him. He was a young teenager. And he was 30 years old when this happened. 13 years of trouble. I'm praying for somebody here today. That trouble might have been 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, 13 years. Today, under this unction, God is bringing it to an end. In the mighty name of Jesus, your rejoicing shall not be hindered. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I mean, you can imagine the emotional rejoicing in the heart of Joseph. Just lifted up like that. Listen to me, brethren. The program of God is far from what some of you are thinking. It's far from the situation you are going through. It's far from what the devil, some of you, the devil has told you, you cannot go beyond this level. You can't go further than here. Who said so? Who said so? My sister shared her testimony with us on Thursday when we went with for program with Big Mommy. They told her, after a series of tests, not in Nigeria, abroad, that she can never conceive. They said her ovaries are not producing eggs. So, she cannot have children. She cannot even do IVF because everything is... So, she was advised to go and adopt children. And then she told her mom, who is a member of that particular prayer group, and the mom said, whose report will you believe? He says, the Bible says, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? By the following year, this lady took him. Went back to the same hospital where she was told she can never have a child. And the doctor said, no, 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 I cannot believe this. I need to run some tests. Ran every test. Baby was doing pom, 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 pom in the womb. And she delivered a boy and a girl. To the glory of God. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Those years of crying, those years of weeping, those years of sorrow, God will bring them to an end in this year of rejoicing. In the mighty name of Jesus. It's not going to be by power nor by might. It's going to be by the Spirit of the living God. Doctor asked her, he said, did you take any fertility? She said, I didn't take fertility, nothing. My fertility drug is my prayer and the prayer of my mother. And the rest is history. The devil did not create your body, so he does not have the final say. I'm talking to somebody right now. I say, he didn't create your body, he doesn't have the final say. The doctor is not the one that made you. It is Jesus that made you. And he is the God of all flesh. With him, all things are possible. Hallelujah. I remember when I was pregnant of my son. He's 33 now. By the time the baby was 6 months old, it was transverse. And it was big. Transverse like this. When they say transverse. And the doctor kept telling me that, well, if this baby does not move and bring head down, we are going to do a surgery for you. And he said, and the way I'm looking at the length of this baby, the size, and the everything, say, I don't see how this baby will turn. But let's see. Nothing is impossible. I was crying. I came back home. I don't know why I'm sharing this. Maybe it's going to bless somebody. And I told daddy, I said, that's what they said. They said, baby is transverse. You know what he told me? He said, if you have a bed, if you like, you can sleep like this. If you like, you can sleep like this. If you like, you can sleep like this. Leave that boy alone. Let him sleep whichever way he wants to sleep. When it is time, we will glory to where he need to glory. I was looking at him. I said, you don't understand. You are not the one carrying this pregnancy. He said, Shebi, I'm the one that put it there. Don't worry. So I kept quiet. 6 months, the boy was still transverse. 7 months, 8 months, till I got to the 38th week. I went back to my antenatal and doctor said, we have to book you for an elective CS. I said, don't book me yet. Let me go back home. I went back home and I told him, I said, this baby refused to move. And they said, well, if it doesn't move by the time you clock 40 weeks, you're going to have to do a section. He said, the boy is still enjoying where he's sleeping. Say, leave him alone. The day I was going to deliver, gong, something fell and I picked it. As I bent down to pick what fell, the baby just did and brought his head down. Labor started. I went to the hospital. In 1 hour, I delivered David. He knows the story. Anytime you see him, you can tell him. You know, I've told him again and again. So most times, when he wants to do something, I say, that's how you have always been when you're in the womb. You are free. Do it. Just be free. Praise the name of the Lord. I had that baby. The doctor put so much fear on me, but thank God for a man that had enough faith to pump faith into me. I'm pumping the same faith into you. Thank God for doctors. They are doing a great job, but they don't have the final say. Hello? I said they don't have the final say. The creator of the heavens and the earth has the final say. Not under this unction will the Lord allow the enemy to prevail over any abundant lifer. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let me round up. Everything changed. 13 years of trouble ended. Emotional rejoicing changed. Everything started. The program of God became reality in the life of Joseph. The king removed his ring and put it in the finger of Joseph. You know, that ring is a symbol of authority. He said, I give you the authority. Change of cloth. Was given a royal apparel. Change of status. From a prisoner to a prime minister. And he got a brand new car. Not just an ordinary car. The one that Pharaoh's ride. I don't know what is the most expensive and the latest car now in the world. That's the type of car that Joseph started to ride. Financial, material, rejoicing. Something that he could not afford was given to him free of charge. And you know the one I love as well? He was given a wife. He didn't have to go and pay dowry. He didn't have to be looking around and say, I need a wife. The same day, he got a wife, he got a house, he got a car, he got a change of status, he became a ruler. Kilode. One day, everything turned around. I never see this kind of God before. Calm down. Calm down, come in. Everything in one day. Last night he was in the prison. The following night he was sleeping in the palace. Last night he was in rag, pleasing clothes. The following day he was wearing white linen with gold chain. We are talking about the gold of Egypt. And he took charge over the entire Egypt. His destiny fulfilled. Now, let me ask you. Was his rejoicing hindered? No! And you know something? When I read that verse that, you know, he was going up and down and they said, bow down. Everybody, bow down. Joseph will show up and everybody will be bowing down. Ranka Dede, sir, your excellency. And we're bowing down in the daytime. And I remembered that one of the dreams of Joseph is that the sun and the moon bowed down to him. The father and mother did not understand that it's beyond father and mother. Sun and moon is the power that rules the day and the power that rules the night. So, the power that ruled the day and the power that ruled the night, because that was Pharaoh. Pharaoh ruled day and night. All the power bowed down to Joseph. Sometimes when we see revelations, we limit it to how far our eyes can see. My friend, it's beyond what you think. When they saw the 11 sheaves bowing down, they thought it's just the 11 brothers. They didn't know that it has to do with everything that surrounds Joseph. Joseph said his sheaves stood, and the other 11 that surrounded him had to bow down. There was more to what he saw than what the brothers thought. And of course, eventually, the brothers had to come and bow down to Joseph. Joseph's mother had died before, you know, he began to rule. So it's not about his father and mother that is talking about the sun and the moon. Something totally different. Do you know something? What the enemy even thinks about you that is afraid? What God has for you is more than that. You didn't hear that. Where you are now and they are trembling. You are just starting. Oh, my shoe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can imagine how the life of Joseph became. So everything that God said at the beginning came to pass. Rejoicing unhindered. The activities of the enemy, the hatred, the envy, the selling, the temptation, the forgetting of all the things he had done that needed to be rewarded, all those ones were the process to bring into manifestation that rejoicing. And if you forget anything, please take this from me today. Whatever you are going through, don't let the devil tell you that is the end of your life. Don't let him tell you, see your life. Let him know that it's simply a process. Can you help me say it's simply a process? My rejoicing cannot be hindered in the mighty name of Jesus. That's the word of the Lord for us this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to rise to your feet and begin to decree and declare to yourself, my rejoicing cannot be hindered. Cannot be made difficult, cannot be truncated, cannot be restricted, cannot be stopped, cannot be slowed down in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, lift your voice and just pray that.